Good evening, everyone. I'd welcome you to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. I am juiced from the call right before. It was a rare privilege that I got to do a call right before this call. I want to thank Alexis Romano and her team, hundreds of people on her team call right before this call. So that was the precursor to the More Heart Than Talent call. So Alexis, thank you for having me on that call and for all of the exceptional friends, clients, and teammates I had the opportunity to collaborate with. Have a fantastic call for you this evening. And also going to let you know about a guest speaker I'm going to have coming up. We've got a couple of guest speakers booked in the very near future. Dr. Joe Dispenza, my good friend Dr. Joe, who many of you have had the opportunity to start attending his events around the United States and the world. I know Alexis is a very big follower of Dr. Joe and has seen him many times along with CG, and some of you also have seen him speak, was scheduled to be on my call August 23rd. His office let me know that he has a flight situation, one of his airfare, he has a conflict. He will be on the call early fall. Sandy DiOrio, who is a first-class event coordinator, has assisted me to land a great hotel on April 15th in New Jersey, next April 15th, where Dr. Joe will be sharing the stage with Alexis, CG, and myself, and some other inspirational speakers from the East Coast. It's going to be a landmark event next April 15th. Dr. Joe will be on my call later this early fall, but on August 23rd, I'm going to have an exceptional internet marketer who is absolutely rocking the internet right now. I've known Corey Shaines for many years. A few of you have seen Corey at some of my events a couple of years ago in Philadelphia. Corey has unequivocally taken his game to the next level, branding a brand called Clean Food Crush. For those of you who have not seen that, he assisted to take that brand from 25,000 likes in 2.5 years to over 1 million likes, and he's created a phenomenal multiple six-figure online brand. He is going to be my guest on August 23rd and will also be one of the key speakers at the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop this November 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So Corey will be bringing some great value. I'm also going to have other inspirational speakers throughout the fall to 2016. This Saturday I will be in Marina Del Rey with Brittany Cara. Brittany is an exceptional businesswoman, mompreneur, advocate that you definitely will have the opportunity to see share. She's been a guest on this call. She wrote a book called The Silent Killer, a fantastic woman. Brittany and I will be hosting the event this Saturday, July 30th, in beautiful Marina Del Rey. August 20th, my second ever visit to Albany, New York. Now, my pie's on my homie. Frank is going to take me to Johnny's in Schenectady. That I guarantee I'll be taking pictures of chicken parm on August 19th as I'm dining, as I'll be speaking in Albany, New York. And I haven't forgotten my good buddy Joe Alonzo is promising to take me to Belmont Tavern. Joe, I'm going to hold you to that this year. I am committed and decided that I'll be dining on a Saturday night in Belmont Tavern in New Jersey. On August 27th, I'll be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania with my good friend Joe DiBianca. That is, yes, Mr. Philadelphia himself, one time Mr. Philadelphia bodybuilding, Joe DiBianca, my brother from another mother, Paisan and homeboy, hometown, will be hosting an event with me on Saturday, August 27th. Clark, New Jersey, with the one and only Don Ferrantino, who I'm doing several events with Don this year. Don and I will be speaking in Clark, New Jersey. She will also be with me in Philadelphia. She will also be with me on November 19th in Weehawken. And I have many, many events. I could list them all out here, but you can find them on my website, Milwaukee, October 1st, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, September 24th with the exceptional Abby O'Neill, just to name a few, Long Island, October 8th, Columbia, South Carolina, October 15th, and Tampa with C.G. Siddons on October 22nd. Most all of my dates are already filled for the end of the year, and I just filled December 17th with Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the beautiful Westin Hotel, right on, that is, beachfront property. So those are a few of the locations where I will be speaking. You can can find the rest of them on my website. Anyone that would like to take advantage of a free 15-minute coaching call, feel free to send me a Facebook message during and or after this call, and I will honor your request for a first-time caller, connector, or if you're serious about hiring me, you can obviously contact me more than once. That is Jeffrey Combs on my website for a free 15-minute coaching session. Send me your phone number and what you would like me to assist you with. I'm now asking you to add what you would like me to assist you with. And with that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. One of the most covered topics in the topic of personal development and self-improvement is leadership. No one writes it better than the great John Maxwell. I had the opportunity to buy Maxwell's very first book in 1994 at a bookstore that is no longer in business, I don't believe, Walden Books in Dallas, Texas. I bought, and it's right there over my shelf, Developing the Leader Within You, followed by a second book, Developing the Leader Around You. I started following Mr. Maxwell and eventually had the opportunity to share the stage with him in 2009 at the Cotton Bowl. Not inside the Cotton Bowl, but the Cotton Bowl does have a convention center where I got to share the stage at a Celebrate Recovery event in 2009. So I have been reading books on leadership going back for over 30 years. Leadership is influence. Tonight's call, the topic of tonight's call, is inspired leadership. And the most important person you lead is yourself. If you can't lead yourself, how can you lead others? If you get overwhelmed, neurochemically, emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that keep you avoiding, well, you're leading yourself right into anxiety. And if anxiety has become a way of life, then you have to lead yourself out of that situation by letting go of the control that keeps you overwhelmed. Overwhelmed is a neurochemical state that a large percent of the population resides in to avoid succeeding and or failing. And practically the two words are synonymous, and many people get the two confused because they're not sure what they're avoiding. Am I avoiding success? Am I avoiding failure? What many people do, why they avoid, is so they can stay in control of their control and be and stay disappointed. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people control. Now, if you are so done with this, if you are tired of being tired, if you're exhausted being exhausted, then you want to be able to become the leader within you that you know you're capable of. Leadership is influence. What does that mean? It means you're able to inspire others. You inspire others by leading by example. You don't have to be a fiery leader. You don't have to lead from the stage. You don't have to lead from the back. You want to lead from being a leader. Leadership is influence. And the more you understand how to influence yourself and influence others, then you can attract this key word, followers. So you've also heard the biblical term disciples. Well, for you to attract disciples, which means disciplinarians of the discipline, discipline means to be able to, it's not pain, it means a disciple means a student of. So if you're serious about attracting students of your philosophy, then you have to believe your own philosophy. But if you have challenges with your belief, you'll attract non-success seekers to fulfill your low self-esteem and fulfill some of your challenges. But if you're ready to be the leader that people are looking for, then that comes down to this, what you do daily. What you do daily matters, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to a lot of people who won't follow you. People who will follow a leader are people looking for someone who's inspired. There's this distinct difference between motivation and inspiration. Motivation is a higher level of energy that burns off. Inspiration is a much longer lasting energy that lasts over a long period of time. Motivation and being motivated is what you do in shorter increments. If you want to win a game, you want to be motivated to win that game. If you're going to go to an event, you typically get motivated at that event. But when you leave that event, you want to be and stay inspired. It's a much more relaxed, disciplined energy that you can maintain one day at a time over a long entrepreneurial career. Ask anyone who's successful what they do when they get overwhelmed, and most people will tell you that are really successful will tell you they don't get overwhelmed because they are inspired. When people ask me what inspires me, I'll tell them I am inspired. I don't have to get inspired to be inspired. I don't require an exterior source to be and stay inspired. I am inspired. What inspires me? Living a good life. What inspires me? Another day of sobriety. When you are simple, methodical, and have a system and a routine and have clearly defined short-term goals and you begin to live in simplicity rather than complication, that becomes very sexy. That becomes attractive. But if you think that being flashy, having a big home and having a lot of debt, or having a flashy car, or whatever that means, whatever flash even means, but if you have to have exterior situations to mask your low self-esteem, well, then you typically won't attract the kind of leaders that you are looking for. You must be a leader and a leader grower one day at a time over a long career. You become a leader grower by what you do daily. Ask yourself objectively, honestly, rigorous honestly, how productive were you today? How productive were you yesterday? Tomorrow is a mystery because it hasn't happened. Yesterday is history. What did you do today? Who are you being today? How was your actions today? Were you in action or inaction? Were you productive or were you avoiding? If you're a chronic avoider, then you're going to have challenges attracting producers to your reality. But on any given day, you can change. On any given day, David can beat Goliath. You can have the lowest self-esteem yesterday and go to bed tonight and rest and be so done with your anxiety, wake up in a much more relaxed and tired state. And if you don't give energy to yesterday or anxiety about the future, then you can be and stay inspired today. And on any given day, you can attract to your reality quality, like-minded, inspired entrepreneurs, success seekers, who you can collaborate with to create results on any given day. This is not explained in luck. This is not happenstance. Synchronicity is a science. It's the law. When you start to understand the law of attraction that breaks down to the law of energy, you'll attract to your reality like-minded people to fulfill your feelings. So if your like-minded people that you consistently attract are people with anxiety, people with low self-esteem, people who are overwhelmed, people who are in fear, and people who are in doubt, then change your identity and change your belief. As you begin to change your belief systematically, one day at a time, in a very relaxed, methodical process, meaning that you're not complicated. The less complicated you are, the more disciplined you are, the more organized you are, the higher the probability that you will attract your reality, someone who will see your value. But when you're in an overwhelmed state, in low self-esteem, you telegraph that you have no value. You wonder if you deserve it. You wonder if you're good enough. When you come from that kind of energy, you're not a leader, you're not a leader attractor, you're a follower. And if you want to change from being a follower, then you have to let go of being a starter. You can't attract finishers by being a chronic starter who has challenges finishing. If you're someone who takes on a lot of obligations to overwhelm yourself, to be able to overgive and overserve, hoping that someday, mythically, magically, see, there's those two terms. Now, mythically, magically is not science. Mythically, magically is luck. If you think you're going to get lucky and succeed, it is possible, because a blind squirrel can find a nut. You can actually step on an oil patch, slip in your garage, run your head into someone's car, and they might get started with you out of an accident or out of luck. But the probability of that happening is usually slim and none, meaning none rode out and slim is mounting up. But if you start to develop patience, which is not only a virtue, it is a skill, as you start to be and stay patient, as you start to master the emotional skills that allow you to master the entrepreneurial skills. Unfortunately, what many people do is they want to gloss over the skills. They don't master the skills to be and stay successful. Right now, it's August, and if you're a fan, a fanatic of the National Football League, then you know that it's preseason. In the preseason, you know that the men or the gladiators are buckling on the helmets, they're putting on the shoulder pads, the New York Jets, the New York Giants, and don't forget, yes, the Los Angeles Rams, that has a nice ring to it, are in preseason, they're in training camp getting ready. They're honing their skills. They're sharpening their mindset. They're studying film. They're out sweating in 110-degree weather. They're in a set of pads. They're practicing the discipline required to play one game at a time, four preseason games, followed by 16 games, followed by the playoff, with the clearly defined goal of winning the Super Bowl. You have to have an outcome in mind before you start. If you don't have an outcome in mind before you start, then you'll settle for any old thing. And if you don't have clearly defined goals, you'll end up working for people who do. If you're tired of trading time for dollars and you want to be in free enterprise, then you must have a purpose, a reason to change, a reason to succeed. When you become purpose-driven, when you have a cause, that cause is what inspires other people, especially when your cause is clearly defined. But when you walk around the planet saying, I want freedom, well, that's great, but that's not clearly defined. When you start to have parameters, when you start to have clearly defined reasons, when you start to have a purpose, when you are purpose-driven, when you have clearly defined short-term goals, when you start to name your team, when you start to build your culture, as you start to be a leader, grower, and a leader, you'll attract your reality a few like-minded entrepreneurs that you can collaborate with to develop that culture. As you start to form and develop a mastermind alliance, one of more of like mind coming together for a common good and a common cause, that's when you start to create a culture, a tribe, a team, a group, a whole level of people coming together. As you let go of your anxiety about being rejected and abandoned, and you let go of being judged, as you start to move into an emotional, etheric, energetic state called awareness, you can begin to transcend your levels of consciousness. You can virtually go from guilt to awareness by a simple decision. As you let go of the cause that creates the effect, the events that shape your feelings, and you're no longer the neurochemical set of emotions that keep you overwhelmed, you can begin to attract to your reality other leaders and leader growers as you start to do this. As you start to create sales volume and a leveraged business, you will create rank advancement. Rank advancement is what creates the compounded effect. One of my clients, Joanna Calvacanti, who is an exceptional first-class woman, and her husband, Mike, have been clients of mine on and off for a few years. Joanna informed me that at her company event, she'd been invited to be with some of the top people in the company. With gratitude, grace, dignity, and purpose, she thanked me for assisting her. Now, why is this important? Because she is a leader. To her reality, she attracted a couple of women, her and her husband, who now have formed the nucleus of her culture in a culture in a culture. As you start to create cultures in your culture, leaders and leader growers, this is what creates the compounded effect. It's what creates 2 + 2 = 16. When you decide, are clearly defined and committed, you will attract to your reality other committed, like-minded success seekers. But you can't attract committed producers when you're not committed. When you keep saying you need to, you'd like to, you'd hope, especially when it comes to money. I'm going to break down money for you because so many people get money wrong. If you want to get money right, you have to have a dialogue with money that's conducive to attracting the people that you can collaborate with to create it. But if you live in a lot of liability debt, don't understand your mortgage, you have a 30-year mortgage, don't understand the difference between principal and interest, and continue to borrow money that doesn't exist and pay interest on it, how can you attract people who have a healthy dialogue with production or a healthy dialogue with receiving? If you continue to walk away from your obligations and think there's no collateral damage or there's not going to be anything that happens universally or karmically, then you better grow up and get real and take care of your responsibilities. That means being responsible. Leaders are responsible. Leaders have responsibilities. And for you to master the moving parts of success, you better understand that success doesn't give you freedom. Freedom comes from letting go of anxiety. Once you start to free yourself from the events that shape your anxiety, you start to be free in your body. For you to ever travel the world and do all these things that you say you want to do, well, you have to start doing them at your desk. Vacations start at your desk. For you to ever have a vacation, then master your vocation. When you started to master your vocation, vacations become inevitable. If you want to go to Aruba for 2 weeks, or you want to go to an island, the Great Barrier Reef, you want to go to Australia, Alaska, or any point of someplace that you've never been before, and you want to experience that romance of culture, then that all begins with simple discipline one day at a time by being a leader. Being a leader means you can lead yourself. It means you get up in the morning and you make your bed. It means when you made your bed, then you go exercise or do whatever you have to do for your family. It means that you start your day off on the right foot, not the wrong foot. It means out of your mouth comes inspiration, not anxiety about the perspiration that you think you're going to have to create by avoiding the situation. You have to let go of the stories you tell yourself so you can lead an inspired day, not only an inspired life, but an inspired day. It's your day that leads to your life. But if you don't have a systematic, organized routine to produce relaxed results in, then you're going to get overwhelmed. put yourself under a lot of pressure, tell yourself a lot of stories, and continue to live in liability debt. For you to live the good life, you require somewhere between 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, $50,000 worth of prosperity a month with a low overhead and low liability debt. Stop romancing buying big homes without paying for them first. Get real with what it is you require. Get real with what it requires you to live a good life. Get real with what is required of you one day at a time over a long career, mastering the emotional discipline to be and stay inspired. That's what leaders do. If you ask any leader what they do daily, they relatively will be able to tell you that they have a relaxed routine that they operate in one day at a time. They typically don't get overwhelmed. They focus on results and solutions. They don't get over anxious. They spend a great deal of their time doing two situations, producing and relaxing, free of anxiety and free of guilt. Your body cannot rest in an overwhelmed state. So when you tell yourself, I can't turn my brain off, I can't shut my mind off, I can't sleep without a sedative, I can't sleep without a barbiturate or a psychotropic drug, then there's absolutely no way you can rest. Your body requires rest. It requires quantum rest. So when you wake up in the morning, you start your day inspired. You want to be inspired, stay inspired, and that's what leaders are. Leaders inspire others with their actions. Leaders inspire others with their own routines. So you have to lead by example. What does that actually mean? It means whatever it means to you. Leaders create loyalty. When you create a culture that's inspired, when you create a close culture that's from collaboration and it's not being controlled, when you're not hostile, when you're not yelling at your teammates, when you're not pissed off at your teammates, when you're not sensitive and defensive, when you understand that in a culture people are going to come and go and it's not your responsibility to control them, your responsibility is to be in command of your emotional state and not alienate the good people that you've attracted. Some people are going to leave the culture, start their own culture, and some people are going to become part of a great culture. So if you want to create that kind of loyalty and that kind of unity, then you have to be able to be willing to pay the price one day at a time over a long career, willing that the price is never paid. Paying the price is not an end game. Paying the price is a discipline. Paying the price means you master the emotions. You master the skills. You master the mindset. You master the habits one day at a time. You can't gloss over the skills. It just does not happen. Meaning, how can you build a dynasty, a team, a team of leaders without learning some of the most important disciplines one day at a time? For instance, if you have anxiety about selling, if you have anxiety about prospecting, anxiety about closing, anxiety about enrolling a teammate, how can you attract your reality, quality, like-minded person that you can create a mastermind alliance with? You can't. You have to let go of that story. You have to address the word rejection, i.e. abandonment, and realize when someone doesn't purchase from you, someone doesn't join you, someone sends their product back, someone drops off of auto ship, someone quits the business, you're not being rejected. Rejection is personal. As you start to depersonalize the situation, meet people where they are, let people go, surrender your ego, not try and be in control of your control, and overwhelm your team, and tell people what they have to do. Inspired leaders don't tell people what to do. They ask people if they can do it. Inspired leaders don't tell people what to do. They show people what to do, and they watch and see who follows. Really giving credence to the term meeting people where they are has merit. It means that you're not in control of people's outcomes. When you let go of worry and anxiety about people staying on auto ship, when you let go of worry and anxiety about people going to events, see, you go to the events. When you go to the events, there will be other people that go to events. You don't tell people they have to. You ask them if they're attending. And the more you let go of that control, and the more you also learn how to sell the dream, you don't tell people they have to go. You tell people that you suggest to the people by going, there's a possibility that there are going to be life-changing events. I've attended thousands of events in my career, and it's events that change our lives. It's at events. We can have breakthroughs. At events, it's the events after the events. At the events, it's the people that we meet, the people that we greet. People get a bigger view. They get a bigger perspective of the possibilities, the probabilities, the definites of purpose that can be created by being a part of the great culture that you are building. When you become that inspired leader and start to host events that inspire others, you can do that in your basement, in your living room. You can do that in a coffee shop. You can do that at a table. You can do that over a telephone. You can do that on a chat. You can do that in any type of situation online in today's world. There's so many ways to do this, but you want to be able to lead by example. Ask yourself, in a leadership criteria, in a leadership evaluation, ask yourself, would you follow you? Do you yell at your teammates? Do you call them up and go off of them? Do you come unraveled? Are you in their back office doing everything for them? Do you tell yourself that I can do it faster than they could ever do it, so I'm not going to teach them how to do it because they're not good enough to do it. I'll just do it for them. Well, you can't lead a team like that because you'll run out of your most valuable commodity time, and you'll exhaust yourself being exhausted. You also have to learn how to let people be uncomfortable by asking them questions. You also have to learn to let people fail who have a failure consciousness. You also have to learn to let people do it, learn sometimes on their own without your input or your direction. And then you also learn how to direct the people who are seeking your direction. It's a relaxed release principle of leadership that you learn to master one day at a time over a long career. Broken down, you want to devote your energy to the people who deserve it, not the people you think need it. That's what will disappoint you. There are certain people who really, really require your input. But you also have to understand that not everyone's going to seek your input. You have to be leader enough to ask if someone wants some input, and if they don't, let them go without feeling like you're being abandoned or rejected. You must also have communication skills that's conducive to being a leader. You learn to ask people if they can attend, ask people what they're seeking rather than telling them what to do. Entrepreneurs don't like being told what to do. That's why they're in business for themselves, and that's why they want to be of a culture that fosters leadership. Leaders are very, very skilled at inspiring others by leading by example, having communication skills that's conducive to being friends, collaborating, creating a culture, inspiring other like-minded success seekers. Communication is key. You want to learn not to react to situations. You want to learn how to respond to them. You want to learn how not to be forced into a situation or be the counterforce to someone else's force. You want to learn how to be and stay in power. Power stands alone. Power is not physical. Power is emotional. And when you're in your power, you're in awareness, love, bliss, joy, and enlightenment. And that kind of power is very attractive. And that kind of attractiveness becomes your attractor factor. That kind of emotional, etheric energy is very sexy. It's very appealing to people. When you're in a very relaxed body, when you're not overwhelmed, when you're not intense, your intensity oftentimes alienates people. I'm recovering from being too intense for much of my early career. I'd get disappointed very easily in my teammates that wouldn't go to events. I'd get upset with the ones who wouldn't produce by the end of the month, and then I'd find out real quickly that I wasn't really leading anyone. I had a bunch of broken souls from broken homes that I had created a dependency so I could fulfill my codependency. I wasn't much of a leader early in my career. I was a much better producer than I was a leader. I realized after several years of being in business for myself, oftentimes by myself, because I would alienate the people with my intensity and my unresolved anger. And my edge, the edge that I had was not effective and conducive to leading a tribe, to leading a culture. I could host events, I could speak from the stage, but I had challenges duplicating. The reason being is I was not an effective leader. And I realized that even back in high school, even though I was the captain of a few teams, I was not an effective captain. I was much better at producing. Now, this is a phenomenon that many people experience. To be able to develop a culture and to be able to develop a tribe or a team, it's important that you learn how to lead. Now, there are other people in your uplines and in your circle of influence that are effective leadership. And as you're learning leadership skills, you want to direct your team, your culture, and your tribe to where they can fulfill some of their leadership requirements from other people, meaning you don't have to be the issue. When you tell yourself, oh, I can't lead, I have a lot of anxiety about leading people, you've talked yourself out of the game before you've entered the game. You do not have to be a superstar leader, but you want to be effective at it. You want to be able to direct traffic, point people in a direction where they can get their questions answered, direct people to some of the events that are happening locally, be available for people when they require you, be able to do three-way calls, answer questions, but don't get overwhelmed and over-anxious about leading people. Again, create a situation that you're so overwhelmed and so anxious that you can't move into a leadership role. You don't have to be the superstar leader. You're not leading a company. You're leading a small team of like-minded entrepreneurs. Sometimes leadership, you lead from the front. Other times, you lead from the back. And you also want to be able to attract leaders who are self-sufficient so that you're not devoting your effort to them who are already effortless. You want to be able to attract a few people who are already advanced leaders. And you don't have to be an advanced leader to attract a leader, but you have to be able to answer the questions of someone who's asking you questions effectively. But if you're checked out, overwhelmed, in anxiety, telling yourself stories how you can't and how you won't, how you haven't so you can't. When you tell stories that say, I haven't so I can't, you're out before you're in. When you say, I'm learning, I'm understanding, I'm aware, that's a whole different level of energy that you're now transmuting. But when you're in anxiety, overwhelmed, low self-esteem, abandonment, rejection, guilt, and shame, that type of energy drops your emotional etheric energy down to a very low vibration where you can't lead. You can't lead when you have rejection issues because you set yourself up to be disappointed before you even started. Your team isn't rejecting you. A lot of times you're alienating your team by how intense you are. Or your team isn't following you because you're not leading by example. For you to be the exemplary example, ask yourself this. What did I do daily? Would I follow me? Would I be led by me? Would I want to be the leader grower? Would I want to follow you? Well, if the answer is yes, congratulations. If the answer is I'm not certain, I don't know, I'm not sure, unequivocally no, change tonight. On any given night, through the power of thought, the power of decision, the power of commitment, you are changing. By stating that one statement, I am good enough, I am letting go, I am the leader that people are looking for, you can attract your reality, other like-minded leader seekers. You don't have to be a 5-star, a 10-star, a 14-star, a 16-star, a diamond, a ruby, a crescent. You don't have to be a belt buckle. You don't have to win the belt buckle. You don't have to be a superstar. You have to be able to lead a small culture of people into prosperity one day at a time. When you can bring leadership way down rather than making it so big, when you can simplify and have a relaxed, simple system that people can follow, then you can create leadership duplication. Some of the most exceptional people that I've ever had the privilege of coaching have some of the simplest systems that allow people to succeed. But if your system's complicated, overwhelming, unstructured, undisciplined, you don't really have a system, then what you have is chaos. As you begin to let go of the drama and chaos that keeps you overwhelmed, now you can lead by example. If you grew up with parents who weren't good leaders, that doesn't mean you're not a good leader. Leadership is not in the DNA. Leadership is not hereditary. Leadership is a learned skill, a learned trait. Anyone can become a leader. Anyone can, at any given moment, can step to the forefront and become a hero. The most decorated soldier in the history of modern warfare, the great Audie Murphy, who in 1945 captured an entire battalion of Germans, 132 men, one man single-handedly stepped up on a tank and rose to the occasion. He was considered too small to be in the military, 5'4". At 17 years old, he lied about his age to enter World War II to defend his country. Was the son of a sharecropper in dirt poor Texas. He became the most decorated soldier in the history of modern warfare. He did not go through the military academies, West Point, Naval Academy. He did not go through any kind of officer boot camp. He ended up being a master sergeant at the end of his tenure. He entered as a private and became the most decorated soldier in modern warfare, meaning that anyone can rise to the occasion. That means you. Any one of you in tonight's call can rise to that occasion. You can become a leadership in your hoagie franchise. You can become a leader in your job. You can become a leader in your church. You can become a leader on your slow-pitch softball team. Leadership is a practice skill. Begin practicing leadership. Leadership means you volunteer for situations without over-obligating yourself. Leadership means you volunteer, your Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. any multitude of situations, Salvation Army, any, you can become a leader at a care home, you can become a leader at a shelter, any multitude of situations, step to the plate and become the leader that people are looking for. Take on that leadership role without anxiety. Change the self-talk that talks you out of being a leader. Become the leader that people are looking for. Leadership is influence. Leadership is belief. Leadership is leading by example. Leadership is meeting people where they are. Leadership is asking a series of questions in a sequence, finding out where your team is without trying to control the outcome. When you let go of the control of the outcome and stop being disappointed in your team, and if you continue to talk how bad your team is, look in the freaking mirror, dude. You attracted them, not me. You're responsible for what shows up in your team. If you go, oh, my God, I lost another person. Oh, they fell out of this. Oh, they dropped off this. Well, grow up, chief. That's a direct reflection of what you're attracting. 80% of the population is overwhelmed. Some of that's the 80%. But if 20% of your team is a direct reflection of you, then change your leadership skills tonight. Leadership is a skill. Anyone can lead. But if you overwhelm yourself and talk yourself out of leading because of your low self-esteem, then what's going to happen? Nothing. No one's going to go to the events. If you don't go to the events, how can you expect other people to go to the events? Well, you can't. You should be one of the first ones there. You should have the first seat saved at any event you possibly can. You should be there early. The great Nick Saban, who's one of the greatest coaches in the history of college football, I interviewed one of his students one time, and one of his students said, Nick Saban said, if you're 10 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late, because Nick Saban expects you to be 15 minutes early. I'll say that again. If you're 10 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late, because Nick Saban, the coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, who's won a few national championships in his era, he believes that if you're 15 minutes early, you're on time. Now, that's one of his criterias. That means he has standards. Set leadership standards that other people can follow. But don't make your standards so rigid that people rebel against you. If you're such a rigid leader, you're such an intense leader, and you operate with leadership control, then there's a high probability that you will alienate your team and they won't perform with and for you because they will resent you. If you're addicted to resentment, it will show up in the teams that you create or don't create. As you let go of your unresolved anger, let go of your repressed issues that keep you overwhelmed, now you can attract from a different level of consciousness. As you start to be the leader that people are looking for, as you start to be able to be a leader grower, and you lead from example and lead from the front or lead from the back, however you lead, whatever your leadership style is, and every leader has their own style. You can model your style off other leader growers. That's a very easy, simple routine. Find someone that inspires you and model them. If you get a chance, mentor with the leader already as a mentor. Ask them mentor leadership questions. How did you become a leader? What does the life of a leader look like one day at a time, over a period of a week, a month, 90 days, 6 months, half a year, 3/4 of a year, and 1 year? What does it look like to be a leader? What does that mean? Well, it means what it means, and every leader has their own style. If you spent any time in any of my cultures, and I was your leader, here's what you'd see. I'm going to ask you a series of questions to see how committed you are. And if you're not as committed as I am, I'm going to take it personal, and I'm not going to hold you accountable. I'm going to hear what you mean and not what you say. I'm going to be able to understand whether you're accountable or not accountable. I'll watch what you do, not what you say. I'll ask you if you can attend any of the upcoming events. If you can, great. If you can't, that's okay too. That's up to you. It's not my gain and your loss. It's whatever it is, and you understand that. I'm going to ask you what kind of income you want to achieve in the comfort of your home. I'm going to ask you how serious you are about a product transformation or if you're going to receive the value of the product. And when someone joins any kind of culture team that I start, in the very first day or so, I will interview my new teammate so I can evaluate and assess where they are. I'm not going to be their accountability partner. I'm not responsible for their success, but I'm going to let them know they can count on me. I'm going to let them know they can call me. I'm going to let them know my hours of operation. I'm going to let them know they can ask me questions for a certain period of time. I'm going to let them know I'm going to do three-way calls for them early in our collaboration. I'm going to let them know that I'm accountable. I'm also going to ask them how accountable they are. I'm going to ask them how responsible they are. I'm going to ask them what they want to seek from this experience. And then I'm going to ask them if they'd be available to check in with me or me check in with them for the next week or two. And then after that, I'm going to be available to them, but I'm not going to be responsible for them. I'm going to be responsible for me, and I'm going to be able to be open and available to them provided that they show up. I'm not going to stalk them, beg them, hound them, seduce them, coerce them, or cajole them into joining the culture. I'm going to meet them where they are. I'm going to watch what they do, not what they say. I'm going to watch if they want recognition. It's going to come from results, not from service. Service is one way to get recognition, but we also, in a production business, you have to be able to produce. I'm going to look for someone who wants to rank advance, live a good life, who wants to consume the product, take advantage of the situation, wants to win some of the trips. That's the kind of person I'm looking for to build a culture around. I'm also going to let everyone else incubate on the light bulb, knowing that at any given moment, someone can rise to the occasion. I'm not going to downplay the people in the organization. I'm going to be attentive and pay attention while other people are doing what they do, and I'm going to devote my energy where it's deserved, not needed. I'm going to pay attention to the people who are going where I'm going. I'm going to match energy with energy and see who's going there. The more you understand how to lead, the better you are in influence. And you want to be influential and affluential as you begin to be the leader that people are looking for. Don't ever speak into existence what you can't deliver. This is why you don't want to tell people what they want to hear. You want to be able to speak from rigorous honesty. You want to be objective. You want to come from integrity, and you definitely want to have great communication skills. As you lead by example, your example has to be relaxed. You can't tell people that they have to devote 14 to 16 hours a day to a business when they have other obligations. And you have to also understand that a large percent of your teammates are overwhelmed. They're over-obligated. They have children. They have liability debt. They have a job. They have a career. They have a dog. They have a horse. They have a cat. They have civic duties. They belong to a church. They do charity. They participate in reciprocity. They do prayer meetings. They do a lot of stuff, and you got to let go of trying to control them into a business. Meet people where they are. Lead by example, and understand that your influence can influence a few people. Ask yourself, is my influence contagious? Is my influence relaxed? And so you want to be able to develop, inspire leaders one day at a time. How do you do that? Once again, you do it by leading by example. One of the ways that I developed my culture is I realized real quickly to teach prospecting skills. I taught prospecting skills over and over and over. And I watched real quickly that as I started to teach prospecting skills, there were more and more people in my team that could prospect. I devoted a great deal of time to the simple discipline of the business. I held prospecting clinics once a week. I had phone fear clinics where I would have people come into my office in an office I had in Dallas, Texas, and Pleasanton, California. I would let them watch me prospect. I would also prospect some of their leads with and for them early in their career, showing them how to let go of the anxiety about prospecting. I put a lot of energy into assisting people understand that they weren't being rejected, they weren't being abandoned. Their friends and family were their friends and family, and some of the people in their circle of influence were going to say what they're going to say. But overall, most of the population is going to be receptive to your message, provided you understand that you have a message of value. There's also going to be a center of the population that is not interested, isn't committed, is overwhelmed, and is checked out. And as you let go of the people who are checked out, overwhelmed, not interested, they're not success seekers, you don't take it personally, your energy begins to change. Now, as you start to influence your culture on the ease of prospecting, well, then what would begin to happen? Sales would happen. Volume would happen. Rank advancements would happen. But you have to, your objective and your responsibility is to be able to teach people the relaxed ease of a system, the effortless energy required to be able to ask the questions in a sequence. Your objective is to be able to show people the value of the products. Your objective is to be able to direct people where they can get their answers without you having to answer all of their questions. When you start to have a very relaxed system, when you're relaxed in your body, when you're not overwhelmed, when you're not anxious, when you're not in rejection anxiety, abandonment anxiety, when you're not so overwhelmed that you can't get started, then your team starts to feel some of that. When you let go of your intensity, so will some of your team. You don't want to alienate your team. You want to inspire your team. You're not there to threaten your team. You're there to lead by example. You don't want to be in conflict with your team. You want to be in collaboration with your team. Your objective is to attract quality, like-minded individuals that you can partner with to create common goals, common good, common results. When you start to come from that type of prosperity, that's when you create reciprocity. That's when people start to duplicate, replicate. This is when you start to rank advance. It begins to happen. But this doesn't happen if you're not consistent. You can't expect other people to be consistent when you're inconsistent. And consistency doesn't mean 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Consistency means that you have a dedicated block of time in dedicated days. You produce and perform, create results, develop leaders, do three-way calls, teach people the basics of the business, and do it one day at a time over a long career. That's the simplicity of the process. When you are simple and not complicated, when you're organized and disciplined, then you won't be unorganized and undisciplined. When you're aware and not overwhelmed, when you're in a spiritual, emotional, etheric energy, in a place called awareness, you'll begin to have an effect on your team. But when you're overwhelmed and anxious, and you don't ever talk down to your teammates, you don't ever take bad stuff down, you don't gossip, you don't talk smack with people, you don't tell people how bad off your leader is, you don't talk that kind of situations, because that's how you create a cancer in your team. You always take it up. If you have a problem with someone, take it to them diplomatically. Don't take your problem with someone down to your team, because that what creates a cancer in your team. Talk realistic. Be honest with people. Come from integrity. Come in from value. And if you have to confront someone, carefront them. Care enough about yourself, care enough about your team, care enough about your teammate to confront them diplomatically. Also, you have to learn how to create a situation. You have to create a situation where people are uncomfortable by the questions you ask. When you're confronting someone, you do it diplomatically, not hostily. And when you ask them a question, let them answer without you interrupting them and without you having to be right. If you want to be an effective leader, teach how to be prosperous, not how to be right. Wouldn't you rather be prosperous than the right? A large percent of the population would rather be in conflict, be right, create problems and create challenges, and cancer an entire team and take the team to another business that goes out of business. You also have to understand there's going to be an ebb and flow in your team. People are going to come and people are going to go. When people leave your team, don't feel threatened. Don't feel rejected. Understand that that's the natural ebb and flow. That's the evolution of life, because whatever goes up can come down. Whatever leaves can return. And so you're not losing anything, because what you're doing is you're gaining a new spot for someone who's available. When someone leaves your team that's hostile, someone leaves your team that's dissatisfied or disappointed, it opens a portal in your team for someone to move in who is satisfied, who is a contributor, who is open to being a transformation agent, who is available, who is emotional. But if you continue to attract your reality, people from your anxieties, then you won't have much of a team. You'll reach a very low law of the lid of financial money. You'll max out somewhere at $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 because you can't let go of your control. Your objective is not to control your team. Your objective is inspire your team and lead your team by example one day at a time from integrity with relaxed, effective communication. Your communication is going to be key. But you can't be uptight. You can't be overwhelmed. You can't feel threatened and sensitive and defensive as a leader. I can spend an entire call on these two words, sensitive and defensive. Now, if that defines you, that merits a whole conversation. That's at least a 15-minute coaching call with me. Being sensitive and defensive means in the middle of a conversation, someone's giving you input and insight, you have to say, yeah, but. You ask someone a question, they're answering your question, and then you butt them. That's what sensitive and defensive is. It means you have to get the last word in edgewise. It means that you have to defend and explain yourself. If you're an addicted explainer, validator, and justifier, then do this tonight. Let go. Let go of being so sensitive and defensive. Be let go of being so thin-skinned, of getting your feelings hurt. Let go of being feeling violated. Let go of feeling rejected and abandoned. And most of all, let go of your ego. If you have an ego that has to be right, you can't possibly be prosperous. If you have to validate and justify, explain, you have to make excuses up for your perpetrators and violators, let go tonight. Leaders are honest. Leaders are objective. Leaders lead from the front, sometimes from the back. Leadership is leaders can adapt and adjust to any situation and circumstance and promote other leaders to step up to the plate and become the leader that people are looking for. Leadership is a shared responsibility, but you can't dominate leadership and be the dominant leader and expect to have any reciprocity or prosperity. You want to be able to develop leaders, elevate leaders, attract leaders, become a leader grower. You want to inspire leaders. You want people to outperform you. You don't want to be threatened by your leaders. You want your leaders to flourish, to thrive. You want to see that in them. That's the sign of a great leader, attracting other people who become more successful than you are. It's a win-win situation. Imagine the results are going to be created by someone who passes your rank. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful situation. Do not be threatened by someone in your culture. Also, don't give all your secrets away. Don't promote leaders who don't deserve it. Leadership is an earned right. It's not everyone deserves to be a leader. Don't just pass leadership around, leadership responsibilities, to people who don't deserve it. I mean, this is where you have to be flexible and have a better understanding of who produces. You know, a lot of the roles that should go to people are people who produce. It's not a black and white issue, but you have to, if you want to get recognized, produce. If you want an award, produce. If you have a problem, out-produce your problem. If you have liability debt, pay it off through production. If you don't have a ticket to the upcoming event, close a sale, close four, close five. Don't talk yourself out of it. If you don't have any money to borrow and you're so in debt that you can't get out of it, produce. That's how you overcome a situation. That's what a leader does. Leaders live in the solution. Leaders don't live in the problem. Leaders are the solution. Leaders don't get overwhelmed. Leaders show people how to let go of being overwhelmed. Real leaders lead by inspiration. They lead by example. They don't lead by intimidation. Great leaders lead by inspiration, not intimidation. If you think you're going to intimidate your people into complying with you, what you're going to have is a team that will rebel against you. They'll dislike you and eventually hate you because of your control. You have to let go of the control that keeps you in control, of being out of control, of the control you think you're controlling. As you learn to understand what I just said and let go of the anxiety about being overwhelmed, then you'll move into awareness. And that kind of awareness is very attractive. It's very sexy. And people will follow you because of the feelings you emanate and the energy that you transmute. As you become much better at your communication skills, your ability to connect, your ability to transmute, your ability to transform, you'll attract your reality more quality, like-minded individuals that you can collaborate with to create a mastermind alliance, one of more of like-mind coming together for common cause. Name a team. Start to name your team. Start to have an acronym for your team. Eventually build a team page. You might eventually build a website. Start to be proud of your team. Start to feel a common commonality, a culture, a tribe, a group, a common cause coming together for like-minded purposes as you start to create that. My first team that I ever built in network marketing was called Golden Wave. My second team, I renamed it, was called Golden Mastermind Group. Golden meaning golden, coming from Golden Rule Industries of America, which was one of Napoleon Hill's corporations. Mastermind coming from the Mastermind Alliance. And then my brand is similar to the Ritz-Carlton brand, the lion with the crown. I had it re-rendered in a different kind of drawing with a gold shield in the back of it, House of Gold Shield. House of Gold is what Golden Mastermind Alliance stands for. Come up with your own team name. Come up with an acronym that's seducive or that's conducive to being able to create a culture. So I'm creating a new team called IMG, Inspired Mastermind Group. I'm in the process of starting to formulate that team with a team page, a website, a group of products, services, benefits, and features. Become creative. Be innovative, because that's what leaders are. They're creative and innovative, and start with why. Find out why people have a why and come from that why. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to have been the host and guest on my own call tonight here. Next Tuesday night, I will be firing it up. I look forward to connecting with you. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you very much, and have a great end of the month of July. Finish inspired. Have a great evening, everyone.